face, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay this man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Oh, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. Can't go without my mic, man. You can't go without the mic. SP Futures up 250. We're down $5 last night, but we look like we're heading north here this morning, at least a little bit. That seems to be the pattern lately. Frank, how are you? We have Stephanie Koenig in studio. We have Frank on the phone. What's up, Frank? How was your St. Patty's Day?
Quiet. I don't go out on St. Patrick's Day.
Why does that not surprise you?
It's a day I never drive.
I was out south at a party, but I was very, very careful knowing I had to drive home on the Stevenson. Let's say I was careful to the point of abstention. Damn near. So.
Oh, yeah. I had a secretary get whacked by a drunk driver at 5 on St. Patrick's Day, driving home from work.
Yeah, that's not
up in Schaumburg back in the day.
Yep.
So. Yeah, you went to the Southside parade.
No, I didn't. Uh-huh. I was in Rockford to see a client, of all things. And then we went to a St. Patty's Day party, tremendous corned beef and stuff out in Lamont. One of Audrey's friends, her doctor friend, Carol, was terrific. And soda bread and homemade candy and the whole bit. It was quite good.
I did make soda bread yesterday for the neighbors, about 5 loaves.
Well. So I did. Was just thinking of some St. Patrick's Day's past, and it reminded me of this is for Steph's of how sometimes the males are driven to nasty things by the females. Just saying, you know.
Really, St. Patrick's Day? You use that excuse?
Let's just say, Steph, that I was minding my own business sophomore year in college. Probably the last St. Patrick's Day they had at Notre Dame. But it wasn't on break. They're smart enough to make it on break after that.
That was a brilliant move.
Yeah. So guess what we had in our cooler that there was back when you could do these sorts of things. In our Coke cooler, we just happened to have an untapped keg.
Oh, just happened.
Just
yeah.
Happened to have. Mm-hmm. You know, figured St. Patrick's Day, there might be a few people coming by. And there were. There I was, 7 in the morning, being shaken violently by 4 females. Hey, are you going to tap the keg? Hey, it's only 7 o'clock, and what are you doing in my room?
Really? So I think you were asking all the wrong questions at that point. What are you doing in my room, and why it's 7 in the morning? I don't know. I think your priorities are a little messed up at that point.
Well, they were already...
Notre Dame co-ed, then?
These were St. Mary's girls. Actually, I think they...
Women.
They had just had... well, they were girls at the time. They just had... I think my sophomore year... It went co-ed through a couple of dorms.
Hmm.
And, they had already been to the senior bar, which had opened at 6, evidently. And, understood that it was probably one of the most vicious assaults, early morning assaults on a keg I've ever seen. I got up, so would you guys mind getting out of here so I can get out of bed for like 1 second? Throw my pants, tapped the keg, they started pouring in. And I went down all to the men's room. Before I even got a chance to go to the bathroom, I had to tap the keg for these girls. Like, you guys are special. And,
so are you still friends with these people?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. It was fine. But it was a vicious assault.
No, I just meant today, in this day and age.
Oh, I've lost track of them. One of them...
I'm going to say, where'd they come to?
One of them, get a load of this, beautiful red-haired girl. She joined the Peace Corps, ended up in Africa or someplace, learned that there was a huge... for kidnapping... Redheaded girls for auction was a spectacular thing, so she quit. She didn't think she was one of that risk.
Really?
Yeah.
You just dye your hair?
She was back if it wasn't too long.
Okay. I like that solution.
Yeah. No, that is, but anyway, no, that was a good group. But the day wore on. I remember going by, I had this really terrific professor, and of course I was over, we're picking people up at St. Mary's holding a beer. And the guy was supposed to be in class with walks by, and he says, "Happy St. Patrick's Day, I'm heading to the bar." I said, "Okay, see ya. By the way, class was pretty good. I'll tell you about it next week. Thanks." Anyway, everybody was, it was a little easier in those days. You know, it was They knew all the stuff about the booze and everything. It wasn't. Plus, people somewhat
they were
behaved.
Very easy on drunken driving.
Well, but you know what? I don't know what the difference was, Frank, but I don't know if anybody ever got hurt or got killed.
I think
you
just didn't hear about
it. I know
it.
So many people.
I don't, I'm talking about at Notre Dame. When it was at the, I don't know of anybody who, I don't know of anybody who ever went to the hospital from our dorm or anything like that. Nobody ever did.
Yeah, but we didn't have cars until your senior year.
But nobody drank enough shots to where you were in some emergency room. I don't know anybody drank shots. I mean, people got bleep faced, but nobody ever was the infirmary. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, somehow or another, we there was a line. I don't know.
Okay, I knew a number of people that died from drunken driving.
Oh, I do too. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I don't go out on St. Patrick's Day anymore.
I'm not so sure there's a difference on the Stevenson or the Ryan whether they're drunk or not. I suppose it's worse, but
I would think there is. But yeah, it is scary. Very scary.
I wouldn't drive on the highway out there. I did drive all downtown Chicago, Saturday, I guess. And you know what the good thing is about St. Patrick's Day? You can park almost anywhere downtown.
You gotta pay.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, parking spots are open galore because they're only good for like 2 hours or so, and, you know, there's plenty of parking.
What, without shifting into something way too heavy, because I don't want to be in this massive politics here, but is there any chance our president will ever learn what I have learned by being on a podcast? It's not what you say, it's what people hear. That even if you think you're saying something, if somebody picks it up and does something else. So the example was Henry this, which Henry was it that, well, no, will anybody rid me of this meddlesome priest, and he was shocked the guys went out and killed Thomas A. Becket?
I don't know what you're referencing.
Frank knows. Thomas A. Becket was he the Archbishop of Canterbury, Frank?
Yes. Gosh, I'm trying to think.
Well, he ended up getting killed because by one of the Henrys, and the excuse was, all I said was, well, nobody rid me of this meddlesome priest, not meaning to go kill him, but his people meant that to mean go
Got
kill
it.
Him.
Henry the
kill
second.
Him. Henry the second.
Got it.
And does not Trump get it at all that these people are picking up on what he's talking about and how horrible these immigrants and things are and stuff like that? And it's all it takes is one moron to hear that the wrong way.
It seems to me that he doesn't care.
That would be awful.
No? He doesn't care. Otherwise, Mulvaney wouldn't have spent half an hour defending him yesterday morning.
Exactly.
That to me is...
He doesn't care.
Well, I care. When I say something to people, somebody says, that's what you said. Well, it sure as hell wasn't what I meant.
Yeah, I understand we all do that at times, but this is kind of pervasive.
It's these people in New Zealand are absolutely stunned.
Yeah, you know, Stephen's kids live over there with his ex-wife, and so it's not a community that is used to violence in any shape or form, and they are incredibly accepting of everyone that's in their country. You know, it is a big, big shock to them.
Did they start out as a penal colony like Australia or no?
I don't think they were penal. Do you know?
Not sure.
I have no idea.
Australia was the Britain's penal colony, right?
Yeah, I don't think they were penal. I think they, I don't know. But, you know, they're interesting because they voted, they had a house and a parliament or something like
New
that.
New Zealand was not a penal colony.
Yeah,
they were a religious colony.
Okay.
Interesting. Which religion?
Yeah.
Do you know?
I don't know. I'll find out.
Okay. But they had a house and a commons, and they voted, I believe it was the commons, out of office because they said they didn't need it. So they voted literally themselves out of a job. Only place in the world that politicians go into office and actually do something like that.
You know what, one time that happened in the U.S.?
Really? Where? It wasn't in Chicago.
No, Frank, I'll give you a call.
No, I have no idea.
Remember the First and Second Bank of the United States? They had a charter.
I think it was before my time.
They had a charter. They had a time period on it. And they decided not to renew it. And people went to work on a Friday, and there was nobody going on a Monday.
What year was that?
Oh, it was way before the Fed.
Yeah.
What's the Fed, 1914, 13, something like that, 11?
So it had to be way...
It had to be way before that. I'm going to say it had to be before the Civil War. When was...
Yeah.
Eddie, we got you working this morning. Google the first and second banks of the United States.
I think
we were at least 30 years without a central bank.
It had to be before the Civil War, right?
I don't think so. There was a period of time in the middle of where... I think we might have had one after the Civil War because they did... They would have been the guys that did drag in the greenbacks and stuff, maybe.
Okay, interesting.
Anyway, so we had a...
You're looking for what year was the first bank of the United States?
In the central, in a second.
The first was February 25th, 1791.
Till when?
Well, I don't know.
you only asked one question, you got one answer.
Well, they both went out of biz. We had the 100th year anniversary was... I'm going to say it was 5 years ago, man. The guy from the Fed came over on Christmas Eve, because Christmas Eve is the anniversary.
The second bank was 1816.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was before the Civil War. You
were
correct.
That's what I thought it was, yeah.
And it lasted how long, Eddie? Did it go through the war?
I'm trying to find the end dates here, and I'm struggling.
But he came over, and it was an encyclopedia about the history of this stuff. And it was pretty interesting. It was a long period of time where Treasury kind of took that function over. I don't know how well they did, but you had all kinds of issues. The biggest issue was in the agrarian areas. I mean, everybody wanted a loan for seed and so forth in the fall.
1836
is when it
ended, the second bank.
And the Treasury must have sort of acted as one, I would think, because you need something to clear... But the deal was, you had the agrarian area, everybody wanted a loan in the spring, and everybody was flush with cash in the fall. So if you could kind of yoke the whole country together, the banks and the cities could, and the central bank could move money around on timing related sort of things, and also do other stuff. So they still do that, as banks borrow with each other. Although I don't know if banks even borrow with each other. It's, when I ran into one of my buddies at the Tripoli, we used to actually do Fed funds business every night. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it got down to the point where he lent somebody, I don't know, $50 million overnight, back when the rates were incredibly the lowest they were, you know, the Fed right. had just pouring money in. He said the overnight interest didn't cover the wire, the cost of the wire.
Really?
Yeah. Well, then he said there really was... But he claims now there is no funds market. That the Fed is, this is all BS. Because what all they're doing is they're paying interest and people are bringing the money right back to the Fed. That there actually is no federal funds market of any magnitude. So for these guys even to call it the federal funds rate is totally disingenuous. It's them paying banks interest.
Okay. So, yeah, I think you've mentioned that before.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. What do you make of the economy, the markets? I mean, because I had a long talk with these people yesterday. They were looking what to do with their money. They're your typical group that has saved up what you're supposed to save up in your 401ks, and then when you retire, now what do I do? And, it was the whole deal. There should be, you know, literally millions of couples like this. That's exactly what you're supposed to have done when the 401k plan came in and people basically bleep canned their regular retirement accounts, correct? You're supposed to save up money, you're supposed to put it someplace, and they're like, well, we're not getting any money anywhere in the bank. I go, I know. And that's a problem. And of course, they're probably over put in the stock market, mm-hmm. Which makes them nervous. So far, it's worked out okay. You know, and it may stay working out okay for, you know, who knows how long. But it's they know they've got too much risk. But what do you do? I mean, you put it in. Actually, what we've done here is I sort of explained to them what we've done is we've gone out for 6 months on T-bills for people, and we've got, I don't know if we've got 2.5 yet, but we've gotten in the 2.4s a few times. But I don't know how many people do that stuff. I mean, I don't think too many.
Well, no, I don't think a lot. I mean, because once you stop rolling, it gets tough. I mean, I'm assuming you're saying you're not maintaining a 401k account, correct?
Well, I mean, I'm saying we have all kinds of them. Well, no, we would you roll it into an IRA.
Right, you roll in an IRA.
Yeah, but I mean, we have a lot of those. But I'm saying those people, if, right now for the first time, the answer is not zero. I mean, for a long period of time, you know, we couldn't help them at all. But now, I mean, you could. I mean, if somebody has, you know, $1 million account and doesn't want everything in the market, I mean, we could to auction every week now.
Yeah.
For people. So, I mean, you could put someone, I mean, I'm saying 2.45 is better than a sharp stick in the eye. It's not the three it used to be, but it's not zero either.
Correct.
Well, where it's a wash is if you have to, withdraw 4% of your funds a year. That 2.5 is your approaches that
right.
Well, but you can still contribute though, right?
You can still contribute, but you have to be working.
Well, you do have to be working.
Yeah, because it's got to come out.
Is there an hour limit or an income limit?
No, it's a pre-tax, so it's got to be taken out pre-tax. The only way you get pre-tax dollars is by being paid.
That's true.
So a the 1099 world doesn't get
that counts.
A break on that.
Yeah, you can do that.
If they do, if you work with your whoever is paying you to put into an account, but they have to do it for you.
I think you can contribute yourself.
You can, but there's a penalty. Having done it, then you...
Well, you're not 65.
No, I did it because I was between jobs, and so I put money in because I got money back from something and then got penalized for it a number of years ago.
Well, since I'm supposed to know this, I'll know by tomorrow morning. I'll ask my bro. He knows all this stuff. That's why he's the president of PTI, and I just manage money.
But... One of the things that really pisses me off about the 401k is, like, so I've been working at my company for quite a long while, and my company has an agreement with one of these 401k big brokerage houses. And, you know, of course they have some, I'm assuming, because the brokerage house is one of our clients, that they have some sort of reciprocal kind of deal.
A quid pro quo? I'm stunned. I'm shocked and appalled.
So. Yeah, I know. Anyway, all of the funds that we have in there, the fees on them, we only have access to, I mean, they have probably 50, 60 funds, I'm sure, that in general you could have access to, but because our 401k is limited, we can only put money into certain funds. And all those funds are like ridiculous expense ratios. Just ridiculous. So even though the market's been going up for years, I'm losing money. But I can't take my money out of a 401k until I quit.
That's true.
So, you know, some places will let you take it out. I have actually investigated this, but, you know, most won't.
We've got some people come here that were still working there, that they were able to take some out.
Yeah, you know, you can take it out with a penalty or you have to pay it back, but some 401ks will let you actually roll out while you're still in the 401k, which is what I was trying to do.
It's a very interesting definition of, I guess, for fiduciary responsibility and risk.
Yeah.
Because people can define that pretty any damn well they want, especially if you're an attorney. I'm kind of down on attorneys this weekend, but...
Well, that makes two of us.
Yeah. Well, you live with one.
That was my point.
But the we had two or three actual, what do you call, groups of medical groups that we managed their retirement plan. And I'm going to say we did a pretty darn good job, way better. I mean, with less risk. I mean, this is back in the 1998, 2008 days, and we were doing a protected plan for everybody. We were up. Everybody else was down. I mean, it was a good time. You know, I'm doing a lot of that again now. We didn't do it for a long time because of the interest rates. But the all of a sudden you get a call, hey, our attorneys want everybody to go on this 401k, like you're talking about, Steph, because we don't want the... to lose money or not make enough and have, like, the secretary sue us.
Okay. Over it.
So they've dumped everybody who doesn't know anything about investing into the typical 401k, give them 10 slots. Of course, the attorneys group recommend the firm, and the expenses, like you say, are out the behind. And I'm going to say that 10 years later, I'm guessing they're not anywhere near better, as good a shape as if we, you know, you had some professional group actually do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, in, you know, you get in these 401ks, you can pay additional fees to have someone within their thing advise you. But
well, that's
it's
even
such
more
a
ridiculous.
Waste of crop. Yeah.
Well, you pay somebody 2% is the which one of 10 funds you put in the total aggressive, the minor aggressive,
exactly.
The super duper aggressive. I mean, what do you? I mean, who's getting who?
Exactly.
Why not? Why not? S&P 500 fund with a very small fee and just put it in there.
Well, if that existed in my world, I have several 401ks left. Some of them I've rolled, some of them I haven't, for various reasons. But yeah, if that was just the easy thing to do.
Do you guys, does yours let you buy company stock?
Some of them do, some of them don't. I don't believe that this one does. I've looked into it at one point, and I really need to take another look because I think they've just added a whole bunch of new things we can do. So if that's the case, then I need to open that part up.
That can be a disaster. You know what, like the biggest one of those?
Who?
Bear Stearns.
Oh, yeah?
Everybody. Frank, am I right? Virtually everybody.
Yep, you're right.
Was I won't say pushed, but expected to have a bunch of their stock in their 401ks. So those guys.
Digital Equipment was that way when I worked for them.
Really?
At the beginning of the 401k era.
I think UPS is as well.
Yeah, but now when they do stocks, they have to give you access to all stocks, not just your own companies.
Right, but they didn't. Because I remember going to the late Jim Tyree invited me to one of those Economic Club of Chicago things. You ever been to those things? The black
tie
there?
Oh, yeah.
So he invited me to one, and we're sitting, of course, we had a nice table with him. Jim was one of the nicest men I've ever met. And, boy, when he died, I knew the city, everything was going to. He was a guy that essentially. Gave enough money to Marist High School. They went co-ed, and they went from not doing very well to doing spectacularly. He's the one who rescued the Sun-Times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just a terrific guy. And
he helped a lot of people.
Helped a lot of people. That was the day, basically, the market crashed. And Jimmy says to me, I talked to some of my buddies at Bear Stearns. They're not only out of a job, they lost their retirement. They live in an area with a bunch of other people from Bear Stearns. It's not a good day. Everybody's house will be on the market at the same time.
Yeah, it's
not good. You know, just not about as bad as it gets. But so, Frank, what do you make of how many days in a row are we going to be up? We'll probably be up again today. Boeing's hurt us a little bit, but not too bad. We've got this Boeing thing to talk about when we come back. Just the whole idea of I think a lot of people who think that the government is working for them. It is really, really hard for your regulatory group to deal with a monopolist. And, matter of fact, I don't know if they can. And I don't know how you get around that, but we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. But are we just going to go straight up here, Frank, or are we reaching a spot?
Tom, this is just an opportunity for me to be wrong.
Well,
if you read the president's tweets yesterday, you wonder how the heck can we continue to go up. But it appears to be that way.
Well, he's got the Fed on board. And I never dreamed that the...
On board is an understatement.
True.
Yeah.
I never
they
thought...
They said no more interest rate hikes this year and maybe one in 2020. That's how they parsed his comments.
Yeah.
I'm actually embarrassed for us.
I am too.
All these different parts of government that are supposed to be independent, and you get one guy in who's a bit of a bully, and everyone just folds. It's just unbelievable.
A bit of a bully?
Yeah. Well, I was just trying to be nice.
Yeah. I mean, everybody does fold. SP Futures up 50 cents. Be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. She's just Stephanie Coney, Mr. Frank Fahey on the phone, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We got a big house here this morning. Good group. S&P futures up 3. S&P futures up 850. We were down 5 last night. Dow's down 38 because we got Boeing down 959 this morning, so that's a solid 75 points in the Dow. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 16.1%, FTSE up 49.6%, and the CAC around up 7, call that flat. So not much going on in Europe except in London.
Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 133.6%, Shanghai up 74.25%, Hang Seng up 396.14%. Do you think there's any connection between unprecedented liquidity that the Chinese bank is pouring into the market and the fact that the market's going up on the plus side? I can't believe there'll be a connection there or here. Oil down 8 cents, 58.44. Brent up to 67.18, which is actually a little slippage on the Brent, but still been hanging in there pretty high here. Natural gas down a penny. Here's a big one, though. RBOB, 185. I got gas. You'd be jealous. In Belvedere, where I was at 235, couldn't say anything less than 279 here. Home heating oil is $1.96, almost $2. And we've got gold is up 270, 1305. Silver up 3 cents, 1535. Benny, we got for us traffic weather sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a pretty good start so far in the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No issues coming in on the Dan Ryan. I-57 and the Bishop Ford looking good too. Stevenson traffic starting to build around Midway, but no accidents or issues to report. The Eisenhower, we have a couple of issues though. We had an earlier crash on the outbound side at Central Avenue. That's been cleared, but there's some resulting congestion from that. Old Post Office to Mannheim is up to 30 minutes. To Route 390 is 47 minutes, so expect some delays as you're heading on the outbound Ike. Inbound side looking okay, but traffic's starting to build there. Kennedy looks good as well, although there is a significant slowdown around O'Hare. A lot of the Monday morning business traffic out near O'Hare is causing some delays, but no issues as you get closer into downtown. Suburban tollways are looking good as well. Off the expressways, we have a crash at Higgins Road and Arlington Heights Road in Elk Grove Village, and so that's causing some delays. Out west of there, Schick Road at County Farm Road out near Carroll Stream in that area, there is a crash. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, very similar to yesterday. Lots of sunshine, cool temperatures, a high of 41. Right now it's mostly clear and 31 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 84 today. Right now it's clear and 55. In sports, the Bulls were blown out in Sacramento yesterday afternoon. They lost to the Kings 129-102. Suns were off. Blackhawks and Coyotes were both off. And of course, it was Selection Sunday, and that was the big sports news of the day. Lots of area teams of note, but only one team from Illinois got in, and that was the Bradley Braves, who got hot and won the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. They were awarded the 15 seed, and they'll get to take on number 2 seeded Michigan State. Other teams of note outside of Illinois that made the tournament, Minnesota is a 10 seed out of the Big Ten. They'll take on number 7 Louisville. Marquette is a 5 seed. They'll take on 12 seeded Murray State. Michigan, after losing the Big Ten title game yesterday, is a 2. They'll take on 15 Montana. Iowa State's a 6. They take on 11-seeded Ohio State out of the Big Ten. Iowa is a 10. They'll take on 7-seeded Cincinnati. Purdue earned a 3 seed in spite of getting knocked out of the Big Ten tournament pretty early. They're at the 3 seed. They take on 14 Old Dominion. And Wisconsin is a 5 seed, and they, in my opinion, have a very tough matchup against 12-seeded Oregon. Oregon, very good, won the Pac-12 tournament, so they'll take on them. The 4 number ones are Duke, the number 1 overall seed in the tournament, Virginia, North Carolina, and Gonzaga. So 3 out of the ACC, and then Gonzaga, though they got upset in the West Coast Conference Tournament Championship game, gets the final number 1 seed. Chief.
We'll talk a little about this Boeing plane, but you know that in my constant, it's never-ending, railing against the government-slash-Federal Reserve-slash-coziness with these top 4 banks. You know what the total credit card interest and charges, like late payments and stuff, are they're going up at probably a solid 10% a year. You know what they're going to be this year?
No, what?
$110
billion. Really?
That's a number.
That's a number, for sure.
I would be interested in the breakout of the fees versus the interest rate.
Of course, this article...
I think that would tell us something.
Well, they're
especially over time.
They're I'm sure they're higher because not higher, but the one they kind of go one and one. Here we go. I'll get it here in a minute. But the what do you guys think about the FAA now is under somewhat scrutiny? The difference between I have it here. I'm going to read part of it, but the 737. I'm certainly not going to blame the well, I will blame the president. Oh, I might as well. When you say you're going to cut back on regulatory stuff, this is very similar to inflation. Inflation is not even. Okay? Some people, it starts in one area, then maybe it spreads out, maybe it spreads out, and it takes a long time to where it's general inflation. But the idea that the regulation getting down to you, and like you, excuse me, doing a mortgage, and having that be cleaned up, or PTI, for instance, getting a freebie and an audit for a year with 10 guys or so, I don't want to say 10, 5 people descending, even though, they're good people, and it's not like they're horrible or anything like that, but it is dropped down into, in certain other areas, like, for instance, the 737 that I've talked about all the time, and Lou was arguing with me about it, but there's a new system on this plane because of the changes in the, they moved the engines forward, they did something with the wing,
aerodynamic changes.
There's some aerodynamics. They put in this MAX system, which essentially takes the plane, and if it immediately lets, it has more propensity evidently to stall than the old ones did, I guess, or the new system is just plain new. Anyway, there's a new system to learn. So instead of making the pilots worldwide, the really dumb guys from Ethiopia and Lion Air versus our really smart guys, which of course I think our guys are pretty good. But this thing became something you did. The entire upgrade of your knowledge on the 737 was 1 hour on your laptop. That's what it dropped down to.
Wow.
But Boeing had, when I read that, I was absolutely stunned.
That is stunning.
Yeah. Not flight time with another guy, nothing.
You're responsible for what? How many people on that plane?
Well, 150
and you spend
or so,
hour?
Yeah.
More than that.
Yeah, well, how many on that thing?
It's more than 150.
157, maybe?
Yeah. Something like that. So you actually got an hour,
They have more training for Uber.
Yeah. It was,
I'm actually not joking.
Yeah, so the difference between the two planes was something they did on their laptop, which is pretty interesting. I would say
it's ridiculous.
And so my question is, I actually had a client, an older dude, a long time ago. He came in. He was a guy that used to work for. He was a nuclear physicist, but he knew an awful lot about nukes, and people always hired him to be in the citizens' utility boards when they would fight against essentially Camel Edison in this state and other people in other states. And he sat there one day in the office, and I talked to him for 2 hours, of course, when the market was going on, because I was fascinated. He says, it comes down to people. You fight these guys over rate increase, and say you win, you go out and have a cold one, and while you do, they're already putting the next application in that night. You just can't win. Because there's people that are the lawyers and the lobbyists that they hire to defeat you, the Citizens Utility Board, they essentially put it in their expenses, so they're part of the rates going up. So when you fight them, they'll go up higher because they have to hire 10 lobbyists and then lawyers to do it. He says they are constantly in the office of people, downstage. So if you walk into the ICC, they say, who are you? And there's two Commonwealth Edison people sitting there. And it gets so invasive. It's like asking the SEC, back when it was only one exchange, to regulate the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, but, I mean, at least, and whether it was just a sense of doing the right thing or not, at least the FAA before this administration seemed to be left to make decisions independently, right? I mean, this is just kind of ridiculous. I mean,
but how do you tell Boeing that you want the 737 to fly, MAX to fly over land for new engines for 2 years before it goes over the water? I mean, you can't do that anymore. These guys, some pilots say they did not know the MCAS system existed until after the Lion Air crash. It blew us away. It absolutely shocked us, said Dennis Tazier, an American Airlines Boeing 737 pilot and a spokesman for the airlines union. Switching from previous models of the 737 to the 737 MAX entailed a 56-minute iPad training session. The FAA did not require any additional training on their certification of the plane. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting.
With a whole new system on there.
Well, and then they knew they had a problem. They've had a problem for however long. They put a fix out there, so they've been creating a software fix that actually causes or incorporates, I think it's 5 sensors instead of the 1 sensor. That's the one that keeps misfiring or misreading the output. And they've had a fix roughly since January, but my understanding from what I've read is that because of the federal shutdown for 5 weeks, the FAA never got to approve it, and all of the implementation of it has been a lot slower than it was originally. And I was talking to a woman who is very familiar with American Airlines. She works there, and she said, you know, it's very interesting that I said that because American had grounded 14 of their 37 737s right after the new year with the expectation that they were going to do maintenance on it. But then they had to put them back in service because she said she didn't know why.
Well, they needed them.
But that the timing right there all kind of fit perfectly. So, you know, it's just, so again, not only do we have an organization that's being influenced by leadership, but then, you know, other decisions that they're making are also impacting, 157 lives?
Well, if you have, this is the tricky part from the economic side stuff, which is, would be slightly different. If you have some competition, I mean, as David mentioned last week, and it sounded awful, but he's absolutely right, planes falling out of the sky is not good business.
No.
I mean, you really shouldn't have to have a federal government tell United Airlines that crashes aren't a good idea. Because in any kind of a competitive world, nobody would ever fly United again. You know, it would be a, right?
Well, assuming United was the only one that had that plane, but that's not
how
it works.
But once you start meshing, you know, monopolistic, duopolies and triopolies and whatever you name it, cartels into this mess, and, you know, Frank and I have talked about this for ages. The idea that somebody, either some good-looking guy or some good-looking lady on TV, all dressed well, starts talking about, well, we're not into socialism, by the way, which I'm not. We're a competitive society. No, we're not. Name me 5 industries we're competitive in.
Well, this is where, you know, although I'm not a big fan of Elizabeth Warren, she's actually right about the monopolistic stuff.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and so this is one of those things that, hey, she's talking about something that in some ways is incredibly not popular, but definitely needs to be talked about because you and I have had this conversation about, you know, how it reduces jobs, how it reduces competitiveness, how it reduces our middle class. And so, you know, you and I have had multiple discussions.
Well, do you think for a second that the average person, God help you have to call up like the gas company or the electric company or a cable company. Do you think those people get away with that crap if there were 4 of them?
Well, you wouldn't have to call them up in the first place because they'd
probably
be competitively fighting for your business.
Right. I mean, so now, I mean, if you become president, what would you miss? What would they address you as?
Oh, holy one? I mean, I don't know.
There you go. Exalted ruler like Kevin?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Would it be Ms. President? Madam President, right?
Well,
be Madam President.
That would be the correct terminology.
Yes, be Madam President. Is Madam President going to put, I'm going to say, some knucklehead like Frank in with the FBI that the first day he's in there, he starts fighting with Boeing? I mean, who do you have? Like, how many Boeing jets have to go down?
No offense to Frank, but I'd find somebody who had some experience in the industry.
I wouldn't take the job.
But my point is, do you want a bull in there?
Well, I don't know if you want a bull, but the point is that you want somebody that at least is competent and understands the industry. And, you know, I mean, I don't think a lot of our previous FAA leaders have been bulls either, but they haven't rolled over.
Well, then they're a bull.
Okay. I didn't realize the definition of a bull.
Well, what I'm saying is you're
somebody whose mind is not unscarred by original thought.
Yeah, but I was thinking a bull in a china shop, meaning they're tearing through everything and ripping through, and as opposed to, you know, trying to just do what's right.
Well, because the minute you do something against Boeing, can you imagine the phone calls every congressman's going to check from Boeing? Who's this guy you put in there?
Yeah, so what? That's the whole point of that position.
Say that to Jerome Powell.
I mean, honestly,
with the pressure, so what?
Either you're going to do your job or you're not. You can either go back to congressman and say, you want to be liable for this? I'm happy to go on TV and say that, you know, this whole group of people are the ones that are pushing me to do this.
Well, but they don't. It is astounding to me, the more we have people on the show that bring this stuff up and the more they send me things that I read. And Frank, you and I have talked about this off camera or off mic. It is astounding how as much as these guys act like they're fighting, the red and the blue, there's places they don't go. And there's no way that if I'm fighting with Steph, you know, on Face the Nation, that I go, Steph, interesting you should say that, because in the back pocket of those blue jeans is a massive check from Boeing, so you probably aren't qualified to say a word about it. You'll never hear anybody say that. Never. Because that's just an area where they've all got ghosts, and they don't want anybody pointing anybody else's ghost out. I think.
All the points point to you being right.
Well, yeah, I mean, the point is, if this guy would have came flying out and grounded these guys, you can imagine what the uproar would have been.
Yeah, but they grounded planes, I don't remember how many years
ago. How many of the 787s?
In the Obama administration, they grounded planes. So it's not like it's not
I'm going to say, I got you here. I'm going to say that the 787s, they grounded them for the batteries.
Yes, that's right.
Right, the 787,
yep.
To this day, they've only delivered 1,000 planes.
You mean, no, they made them encase them in metal boxes.
Right, but I'm saying when they grounded them, I'm going to say there were less than 40 planes out there, maybe 50. These things, there's 376 in 6 months per year.
Yeah, I got it. And there's another, there's 5,000
ordered? 5,000 ordered up.
Yeah, so, I mean, I understand that, but the point is it's double what was out there before. It's not, you know, the whole world's fleet. And who wants 157 lives on their hands every time a plane goes up? Every other country is willing to do this.
Kevin writes in on Twitter, what on earth does a U.S. government shutdown or an unspecified, possibly non-existent regulatory change at the FAA have to do with supervision of an Ethiopian airline?
Nothing.
A little specificity to go with such an accusation would be nice.
I'm saying that if the 56-minute difference between... that's what our pilots got, a 56-minute thing on their laptop. Our guys... maybe that's good enough, okay? But I think if we all assume, as Kevin sort of is here, that the Ethiopian guy is a relative idiot, if it works for our guy, why would we ever think it works for their guy?
Why are we assuming that?
I'm just saying.
I think they're just less trained.
First of all, I'm not saying that.
We don't even know that.
Right.
That they're less trained.
We don't.
That's anecdotal.
Correct.
Right now, American pilots are coming out and saying they didn't know.
Frank, it's not what you say, it's what people hear. I know that you don't feel that way. I know that Steph doesn't feel that way. I'm not so sure I feel that way. But after this came out, you could sense, by being from the South Side, there was a racial overtone to this. That those pilots just aren't any good, and what are you doing flying the Ethiopian Airlines anyway? And all they did was talk about the co-pilot had 200 hours under his belt. And if that's somehow, same thing with Lion Air. Who are those guys?
Right, and back to the question about what does Ethiopian have to do with the government shutdown. So my understanding, and this is what I've read but I don't know officially, is that they were working on putting this release out to American airliners before they did overseas. So the delay in rolling out this fix to American airliners delayed it overseas. That's my understanding. But, like I said, hasn't been confirmed, but that's from talking to a whole bunch of different people and reading, that's what I've interpreted.
I think.
And if there wasn't a problem, why is there a fix?
Exactly.
Well, I'm looking at this chart here. Graph? I don't know what the hell it is. Bar chart. I mean, I think that this is where Kevin and I somewhat disagree on this, is that their first deliveries were overseas. I mean, safety is just as important there as it is here.
No, there's no doubt about that. But I don't think their fix, their original fix was...
Look at the...
First rollout was
check
overseas.
Out the numbers on this plane. I had some kind of an idea. I flew on my first 737 when I was a junior in college. Junior in high school. Long ago. Wow. Anyway, you know how many of these things have been sold and are unfilled, the orders?
Yeah, the new ones?
No,
yes.
The 737's from day one.
I don't know. What year did they come out?
Well, I'm going to say 66.
76.
No. What? I was in high school.
Oh, I thought...
66. I flew one to Lansing, Michigan to take the Michigan State test when I was a senior.
So there's a different... There's a 737 and the 737 MAX. So.
I know, there's all different. There's 100, 200, 300. Actually, the 100 was never delivered. The one that was delivered was a 200. 100 was a test. But well, it's like 11,000 almost have been delivered. Unfilled orders, 46, wow. 36. Get a load of this. The 707, the iconic plane, less than like 1,500 ever were made. The 747s, less than 2,000. 757s, I'm going to say 1,500. This thing is up to 14. It looks like they've done this thing.
1967, Tom.
Pretty close. They've delivered more of this plane than they have every other plane they've ever delivered combined.
Doesn't surprise me. We've got an international world. We have got a lot more flying going on.
Well, yeah, you know, one or. But I mean, this is the model for every man. What I'm saying is, can you expect the FAA in the world of a monopoly? Do you think we ever are the instructions there have to be favor these guys over Airbus? And now and this plane was a year behind Airbus. Airbus went out and put it up, and I'm not bashing Boeing here. I'm just saying this is what happens, in my opinion. The what do they call it? What was the Airbus, Frank? It was the 320, not new or stretch, but they put new engines on the thing and made it more efficient in the air. And Boeing said, instead of making a new plane, we're going to do the same thing and call it the 737 MAX. So they put a new wing on it, new engines, sort of new everything. But they're a year behind Airbus. Do you think the impetus coming out of the FAA was to drag their feet on these guys like they would be if you and I wanted to do something? Or to make sure they tried to catch them? This has to be the first time ever that you have a significantly different plane and to catch up to a pilot is a 56-minute tape on his computer. I can't imagine that any other time happening.
I don't know. I need to do some research to understand. I know that between private jets, you definitely have more than 56 minutes for an upgrade like that. But
you would think. Well, now, so I mean, but I'm not talking about these guys. Do I look at the ICC? You know, are they all over? Your electric company, your gas company? I'm saying no.
Well, there's a difference there. You know, there's a whole...
The monopolist.
Yeah, but there's years of regulation. Plus, you know, you don't... Yes, if your pipe bursts and you've got gas, you're required to get it fixed and a whole bunch of things. But, you know, in most cases, your house doesn't usually blow up, right? I mean...
Well, hopefully.
Right, because there have been regulations put in place to try.
I'm gonna say
and
it only happened once, though. That particular house.
Ask them in Boston if that happens or
exactly.
Not.
Yeah. It does happen, you know?
It does happen. Sure it does. What those guys, manhole covers. What if you're walking down the street and some manhole cover popped up and landed on your head? You never thought you were going to go that way. Now, Maddie, you're not going to go skydiving or bit by a shark. What if a manhole cover landed on your head?
Nothing you can do about that. You just got to chalk that up to it was your time.
It's like the poor woman who got hit by a piece of glass falling out of one of the buildings however many years ago here.
That was a CNA building.
It was horrible.
The Hancock Center and her family spent the money they got for it on a new softball stadium at Notre Dame.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Frank, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you later in a week. We were supposed to talk last Friday. We'll talk again, maybe this Friday. I will talk at you.
Okay.
SP Futures up 3 now. NASDAQ Futures down 7. Boy, whenever they're down at night, last couple of weeks, you just got to buy them, Steph. I wish I would have. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
This
something happening here.
Blowing up Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tomashi, Stephanie Conan, he's Matt Warman aboard. SP Futures up 350. NASDAQ Futures up 550. Dow Futures are down because Boeing is down $8. It was down 9, so it's come back a little bit. We've got United Healthcare up $1.78. We got Disney down $1. Disney's been getting whacked the last few days, Steph.
I know.
Not sure what that's all about, but because I thought they had pretty fair earnings. And yeah, I don't know. I think the company does pretty darn well. I think they managed to. Everybody's always giving them up for the dead, and they always manage to do pretty well. But stocks had trouble recently. I wonder if at some point here would want to get involved in some Disney. I know they're having issues with the ESPN piece, but you think the ESPN is overpaying for somebody's some of the stuff, Manny?
Paying for some of what stuff?
Oh, like the NFL and the didn't they pay a bunch for Major League Baseball this year? They didn't buy the NCAA back. That's still CBS, right?
Yeah. NCAA is still CBS and Turner. NFL, they just have Monday Night Football. That's
right.
College,
though, they paid up. They paid for all these bowl
games. They pay for a lot of college football, that's for sure. Baseball, they barely pay anything. They get baseball is like almost giving it away.
I thought they what do they have, Monday night or Saturday? What do they have?
They have Sunday night baseball, and then they sometimes will have like one or two games during the week.
But that's not big dough?
I don't think it's big dough at all, comparatively.
I think they're paying too much for this college.
Yeah, I think you could definitely argue that.
What? Here's a pattern. What do you? We've had people call in before, Matty, or tweet in regarding patterns, market patterns. You know, should we buy retails this time of the year and so forth? And John and I used to do a lot of that way back in the day. And I'm going to say, I haven't talked to him in a while, but I don't know if I do any of that anymore, Steph. I mean, where I buy certain. You know, one of the. I remember a baseball game. I remember a guy who actually got money from somebody, and they were doing big studies on calendar and seasonal movements in stock. And one of the biggest ones he found was Hershey's before Valentine's Day.
Okay.
And a couple others. I mean, some of the couple before Christmas. But here's a perfect pattern here. Historical pattern. Of course, it only goes back. Well, only goes back. World War II is a long way. 18 midterm elections since World War II, in the a year after midterm elections, the stocks have gone up every single year.
All stocks? I mean,
no. The market has been up. The S&P has been up every year. Which the third year of a president's presidency. There's been 18 of those years since World War II. Every single one, stocks have been up.
Oh, what does that say about our electoral process is affecting our markets?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just is. I mean,
right.
I mean, I don't. That doesn't mean you want to bet it this year. I mean, last year we had a number 16 knock off a number one, right, Manny?
First time ever, yeah.
But the question is, would you roll with that? Just because it's a pattern, but it's definitely, you know, well, this year. Look, after being down by on Christmas Eve, we're up this year. I mean, if we stop right here, would be year 19.
Yeah. So, I mean, would you trade on it? The answer is I probably wouldn't, but someone would.
Yeah.
And I think they probably do pretty decently.
Well, if you go back 18 years, the problem is...
Yeah, moving forward is... indicators have no indication of future market potential.
Right. Well, I tell you what, maybe we could wreck it. If we all, if all the listeners and us, we all got lying, we could wreck it.
We totally could.
God. So you're one of those that thinks the big guy upstairs is looking right at your portfolio.
No, I don't. I just think he's got a lot of other things going on. I think he laughs at me regularly, so if this is something else he can laugh at, it's probably something that will happen.
So you're the Catholic, bleep happens, but I probably deserve it?
No, I don't know that I necessarily deserve it. I think that, you know, we're here at his humor.
God. Well, that's one interesting way of looking at it. So what do you... In the four, you mentioned your 401k earlier.
Yes.
In the 401k world, where we've seen a pretty big move down in last quarter, talk about patterns. I think we've had a couple of down Christmas Eves before, but nothing like we had last year. That had to be an outlier.
I'm sure it had to be. I mean, I was surprised by it.
So you've got that. So now there was something that was broken. We'd never been down more than 1% in, I don't think, since the market opened, or whatever, in 18, you know, whatever the hell it was. that that ever happened.
You mean at Christmas time?
Christmas Eve, and they're down more than like a half a percent or whatever.
No, I know. In fact, usually it kind of just rides about even.
Yeah, well, it's actually a pretty bullish day.
Yeah.
You know, much to creep up. That and the day before the 4th of July. And the day after Christmas, or day after Thanksgiving, they're fairly patterned, but, you know, how, you know, they're hard to play. But,
well, you know, the market at that point is usually so thin because everyone's off. Like, all the big
right.
players are out. So, you know, all the junior guys are sitting around, and their job is really just to make sure they don't lose money. It's not to really make any big decisions. So usually you can count on those days being pretty, you know, mediocre. It's not going to go up a lot. They're not going to go down a lot. But that was proven wrong this last Christmas.
Well, that's right. My suspicion, especially after meeting a lot of clients lately, or would-be clients, and a lot of them have become clients, she's fairly busy. I've put a lot of people in the Protect Index program stuff, more than I have in 5 years. I mean,
I think it's a time. I mean, it's a good time, I think, to protect yourself.
Well, that's what I'm asking is in the 401k world where everybody, you know, excuse my French, everybody bitches about their lack of
can't do much
selections. Do you have a cash outlet? Is there a money market?
Yeah,
there's
a money market account. But you either move it to money market or you move it to bonds. You have no other options in most cases.
Well, that's a big difference.
Right,
when you say
sure.
bonds, what's the time frame?
I don't know, because it's usually a bond fund.
Well, some will say, you know, 20-year plus, or some will say 10 to 20, or
sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Okay, they're not even giving you that much clue. All right.
You know?
Well, I mean, have you heard anything, I'll say, hanging around the water cooler? Do people even have water coolers? But say you were hanging around the water cooler. Clearly, if somebody, what I'm seeing is that nobody's in cash because nobody's paying any cash. But I say we have some people in cash here because my brother, dutifully, because he does this for everybody, if you want to go to the Treasury, he'll go for the auction and he'll get you to 240 for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if every firm does that. I have no idea. But
well,
maybe they do. Or
do, but.
Well, I know they'll buy you Treasury. Now, whether they'll actually participate in the auction for you, I don't know. At some level. But let's say they do. But, I mean, it's not something they're going to recommend you do, necessarily.
Well, they don't usually make much money on it.
No, I'm not even sure what we charge. $25? Something bizarre like that.
Right.
My guess is that if you were to ask people what their ideal stock allocation would be, especially if you're in your late 50s, early 60s, the number would probably be, in normal times would be, let's say, half, 40 to 50%.
I think it's higher than that. I don't think most people...
See, you're young stuff.
Yeah, no, I know, but even all the people who I know are older don't live, who are older and educated in the marketplace don't live by the standard rules.
Okay.
You don't make any money that way.
I'm going to say, before all this happened,
mm-hmm.
before the interest rates went wacky on us, before everything.
Totally. Then that was a different time.
Well, okay, but I'm saying in normal, well.
Is that normal?
Well, but people, you know what, though? People are still using the same ratios.
No, I know that the brokerage firms are still using the ratios, but I don't know anyone who's actually adhering to ratios.
Okay, well that's what I'm getting with this. I think I'm going to get where you think I'm going. Is in 2006, if you're 62 and right away you're going to retire, somebody would probably have you 40% stock, 40% bonds when bonds were actually paying something, and 20% cash, which was also paying something.
Right.
And what's happened now is what you're, you know, adhering to is, by the way, nobody wants any cash. And bonds are not making anything. So nobody wants to be in bonds. Why would you put yourself out 30 years for 3% or 3.5%? Nobody would. Even 10 years at 2.7 when you can get six months for 2.4 is a pretty foolish bet, in my opinion.
Right.
So now you're left with 80-90% stock.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not where people are comfortable in their 60s. They're just not. Even though they know it's the only horse in town, they're not comfortable.
Whether you're comfortable or not, exactly your point.
That's where you are.
There's no other option.
Well, in their mind, there is. They just seem bad. Right? But now, if in those days, if the market took a 40% dump, you lost 40% of 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to lose 40% of 90 or 95%. Whole different program for people.
For sure.
And I think people, the people that I have that are most nervous when I talk to them, Steph, are people that have, in a perfect world, what they think their breakdown should be. And it doesn't match. And it doesn't match because of what we got going now. I don't get a dime for, I mean, I'm the happiest investor I ever saw in my life was my mother when she was making 14% on CDs.
My grandmother was a fabulous investor.
Well, I mean, back from 77 to 81, yep. That's all you did. And how could you screw up? She would go to one bank. The highest I heard was my friend Robin got, I think, 15.5 on a 6-month CD at the dear departed Continental Bank. That was easy investing.
No, that was. My grandmother pulled her entire portfolio out 2 days before Black Friday.
Really?
Yeah.
In 1929?
Yeah.
How old was your grandmother?
No, not 1929, sorry. Not Black Friday. The next one. What was the next one?
87?
Yeah, the 87 one.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. I'm saying there's a lot of reasons why if people have the right, because it used to be that, what was it? Again, it was, you should know this. I should know this. That after the age of 50, you put one more percent in fixed income per year to your 65 or to your 70 or something. To the time you were like 70, you were like 80% in fixed income.
Well, that was at least a ratio when I was taking the tests years ago.
Yeah, but I think firms are still using it.
Of course they are. Nothing's changed.
Well, they've got... I've had people come by that are 80 years old and somebody just put them in a 30-year bond.
Yeah,
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, hey, I understand. Or 80 years old and, you know, they want to put them all in bonds, which is, just doesn't make any sense either.
No. All right, so what is... I've never seen, I was mentioning to these people yesterday, that in all my years... There's always been outside influences of the market. I mean, that's what the market does. It discounts basically everything going around. I mean, we had long-term capital. We had the Argentinian debt crisis. We had all kinds of stuff. We had the Gulf War, two of them. We had all these things all happen. What was that one? Cyprus. We had, to Italy. I don't think I've ever seen a time when there's so much stuff happening, where the Fed was so involved, where, pumping the market up, then not pumping the market up, then pumping the market up. I think the market is becoming, it's one man's opinion, that went to grad school, and when I came out, nothing I thought was greater than the market. I mean, if a guy had trouble in the can, if he walked out of the can, the stock should be down a buck, if the market was that efficient.
It was. It was incredibly logical. It was efficient, even when I started in this business.
Now I don't feel that way at all. But
I don't either.
What I'm trying to do, Steph, I honestly think, and I've been doing pretty good for my clients since I started this new wave of thought and started putting all these people in the protected program. I'm just rolling with the flow. I'm just saying, you know what? If it's down 2-3 days in a row, even though I know that the market should not react to these idiots running out in the afternoon and throwing Larry Kudlow out there and saying, don't worry, we got a China deal this afternoon, how great everything is. It's going to happen. I just have to disconnect my brain and trade it.
Yeah, I mean, the fundamentals at the moment, it's not that they're not important. I think they're long-term important, but if you're looking for short-term change, your short-term change is all emotional.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, you know what? Because when we started, the guys who were really good at like options and stuff, they would like make fun of people who thought nobody's bigger than the market. The market was sacred. Even Goldman Sachs really couldn't mess with the market too much. A little bit, But even the biggest guys weren't as big as the market. And now I'm not so sure. Now I think you have to act like you're one of the biggest guys and just roll with them.
Yeah, because, you didn't ever respected those people who were emotional traders because they would always blow out.
Yep.
And they'd blow out regularly. So they'd make huge money one day, and then the next day they'd be just gone. And so, yeah, on the floor, or at least back when I started in the industry, you definitely didn't respect those individuals who were just listening to all of the chatter around the market. You really needed to know your numbers and understand the fundamentals and look at the world market and how it all interplayed. And I agree with you. I think at this point now, especially with the black pools and you can't see what's going on and there's so many different players who are influencing that you have, there's no visibility to the true market. There's no central location where you can see everything that's kind of going on. There's no way to play it. So, you know, the emotional play, at least short term, seems to actually work.
Well, we're talking about regulators. Why we can't get the FAA, I think, to corral Boeing. I don't see how you ever could. Is it possible for us to get an SEC chairman who can actually stand up, show a pair, and say, nobody gets to trade between the penny anymore?
Please, God, because I'm not sure where the confidence in our market is going to get to without it.
I don't see that happening anywhere.
I mean, some of the latest polls, the most least trusted groups out there is the banking industry.
Yeah.
And you know what? That is a fundamental problem when people stop trusting the banks and you trust your mattress more than you trust, you know, putting it into a bank.
I think, Matty, I suspect you're listening there saying, Chief, you better go back and explain what all you're talking about. Do you understand? You have any idea what I just said about trading within the penny?
No, go ahead.
When I started, the minimum width and a minimum tick, maximum tick was an eighth, not a maximum, but it was an eighth, 12.5 cents. So if IBM could only trade 160 to 160 and an eighth. Okay, so when you traded on the New York Stock Exchange, that was it. So if you put your order in the book, the specialist book, you could offer it a quarter, you could offer it 3/8. You do all those things. You put money into the specialist book. And in the options exchange, if you had an order to sell your call, say, at 3 1/8, and it went in the book, you got preferencing. You actually, your 3 1/8, you got traded with before I could trade it at 3 1/8. There was customer preferencing. It was a very fair system. But nobody could trade between those maximums. Then it went to a 16th under a certain price. Then it went to a nickel. Then it went to a penny. Okay, so even at a penny, you would think, Mortimer, that at a penny you're narrow enough. And like what Steph says, all these different exchanges, you might ask yourself, why are there different exchanges? Why not? If I go to sell my IBM at, what's trading, I'll look at it right now, it's a 139.43. If I want to sell it at 139.44, you would think I could put it in order someplace. It would go to the New York Stock Exchange. Well, that's not happening anymore. It would go someplace, and if I wanted to sell it there, and if it traded, the next guy who wanted to buy IBM, he would trade with me. The next customer said, if the market's 43 cent bid at 44, if Steph wanted to go and buy 1,000 IBM, guess what? She would trade with you. Steph buys, you sell. Very simple world that our world used to be, right, Steph? This was not that complicated.
No.
Now, however, somebody says, well, you know what? I own this order. I want to trade Steph's order. Now, instead of Steph, Steph decided somewhere along the line she doesn't want to pay squat in brokerage. Okay, she wants it, you know, real cheap or free. Now,
well, even still, even if I do pay brokerage, it doesn't matter anymore.
Right, but that's even worse. Yeah, so, but by and large, somebody, the broker now, instead of his job being to get the best fill from Steph, is now to somehow take this order, which they consider to be a dumb order because somebody's, you know, taking the offer, and use this. People will be willing to pay for that. Okay, but you're not going to want to pay for it if that order has to go to the exchange and Joe, who's in the book, gets preferenced. So what ends up happening is they said, we need to be able to trade this not at 4. You would think 3-4 is even enough. We need to trade it at 3.99 and jump ahead of Joe. So Steph's going to get her confirm back, and she's going to buy IBM, and it's going to be at 139.4399. And she's going to say, what the bleep is that? Well, it was, and you're sitting there, you're offered at 44 all day long, and you don't get traded with, and you go, I know IBM's trading, for God's sake. I understand it's trading. The darn thing doesn't even print at 399, does it, Steph? It prints on some odd exchange. Or some other place you can't even see. So the New York Stock Exchange tape doesn't even have it on there. So this is insane. So all the payment for order flow, all the preferencing, all these other exchanges are all there because you can trade within the tick that you and I can't trade within.
And then this way they make money on both sides of the trade. So they make a percentage off the trade, and they make a percentage because they're matching orders internally, so they're not paying the exchange a fee. So then they can take more of the overall profit.
And they're still charging commission.
Yes.
Which, in theory, they're not supposed to be able to, because they should be, because, but then they'll say, oh no, instead of us taking the other side of the trade,
we match it with our internal book.
Or we're going to go to Matt Weber, Inc., and he's going to give us a kickback.
Yep, exactly.
And it's, I mean, you couldn't design a system this horribly.
Yeah. Had more backdoors, unscrupulous ways of making sense for everything. It's ridiculous.
So now the Republicans think this is great because those guys are paying them.
Yep.
So they let it go. Now the Democrats, instead of just saying, we'll stop it, are going to say we'll tax it, which is even dumber if it's possible, right? I mean, instead of just saying, look, you got your minimum, that's it. Nobody trades outside the minimum. All of a sudden you'd find, what, 15 exchanges closing. You might actually find a customer trading with a customer. It would be a brave new world, stuff.
We'd be back.
We'd be back.
I mean, it would actually be back to making sense.
In the OEX pit, back in the day when there were 350 people in there, me being one of them, I'm going to say, Stefan, my mind goes blurry, 62% of all trades were customer to customer. What do you think they are now?
I don't know. We looked this up a couple of weeks ago.
I'm going to stay on the Sox side. It's pretty close to zero.
You know what? I don't know. All I remember is we looked this up a couple of weeks ago, and I had made a guess, and I was pretty close. I think I said 30%.
Yeah, it's published at 30. You know what I bet that is, Steph? If you take the opening and close away, I think I'm right. The opening and close always happens on in New York, so that is customer to customer match.
Right. That would make sense. Yeah. I mean, most of the volume is on open and close anyway.
Maddie, is that better or did I make it worse?
I didn't hear all of it, but I'm sure it was great.
Oh God. All right, Maddie, before we get David on here, what do you think of these matchups? How many teams got in that, in your opinion, shouldn't? Just the people who beat Ben Gonzaga and who else?
This was an interesting one because I didn't think there was anyone that got left out that deserved to get in. So
if anybody's whining, who's whining?
I mean, Indiana was whining a little bit, but they had, you know, 15 losses or whatever, but they beat some really good teams. Alabama is in that category.
They're both NIT?
Yeah, they're both invited to NIT. I haven't looked to see who accepted. But there wasn't – some years you have a really extensive bubble list, and you have some teams that really you feel like deserve to be to get in, and they just couldn't because of the numbers. This year I didn't feel that way at all, and they actually gave the nod, it seemed, to a lot of the mid-major bubble teams over the big conference bubble teams. So basically, if you finish below 500 in your conference – outside of Oklahoma, you did not get in, and I think that's a good thing. So I didn't think anyone had a bitch, really, to be honest.
There's games tomorrow night, right?
I think you have some of the first four is tomorrow and Wednesday.
Yeah,
and those are in Dayton, and then the real thing tips off on Thursday.
Is there any? There's no region. What's the closest regional to here?
I'd have to look. I know that Columbus has some games. I know Des Moines has some games.
The girls are in the Wintrust next weekend.
Yeah, I saw that. So I'd have to look to see all the locations. But yeah, there's some good matchups certainly in some interesting regions. In the first round, they have Rick Pitino's son, Richard Pitino, taking on Louisville, who fired his dad last year. And there's little things like that all sprinkled throughout the schedule. So that stuff's interesting.
Is his son as crooked as the old man?
I don't know yet. It could come out that way.
God, let's hope not. Pitino, Didn't somebody want to hire him? Was it
Well, there's rumors that UNLV is interested in hiring him. There's rumors that UCLA is interested in hiring him. The usual suspects that don't care if you cheat or not.
Are you sort of surprised that through all these years the two biggest powerhouses of like my era, UCLA and Indiana, have been this long nowheresville?
Yeah, Indiana had a run to the title game in the early 2000s with Mike Davis as an interim head coach, and then with Tom Crean. Maybe 6 years ago, they were a number one seed, but so they've had a few little things here and there, but they haven't really done much. UCLA had a couple of Final Fours with Ben Hamlin as their coach, and that was probably 10 or 15 years ago now, and they haven't done anything in the last 10 years, really. I mean, they've had a couple of good teams, but the consistency definitely isn't there with those two programs.
SP futures up 2.25, and NASDAQ futures up 275. So we're slow to the upside here, just like in Europe. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here,
right now, right here, right now, right now. Well, everyone, thanks. Stocks and jocks. I'm Stephanie Coney, Mr. Mail, over on the board. SP futures now up a buck and a half. NASDAQ futures up a whole 25 cents. Dow's down 56. It's all Boeing. Boeing's back down now 950, Steph, after making it back only down 8. Again, it started getting more and more heat about the 737 MAX. Now there's an investigation in the FAA, and you know we're talking about how the upgrade was easy to do. Anyway, at the end of the day, I don't see anybody buying planes from anywhere else, but I'm just going to hurt Boeing a little bit in terms of money. After I'm done with this stuff, we'll maybe take some kind of a guess as what do we think the total cost is going to be. I'm going to say it's going to be at least $1 billion, but probably not 10. Over in the rest of the world, we've got Europe. Before, it was DAX down 30. It's 0.3%. FTSE up 41.6%.
Check around up one, call that flat. So that's an odd group there. I'd say that is mixed. Over in Asia, we're bullish. Nikkei up 133.6%. Shanghai up 74.4%. 3,096. Maybe tomorrow over 3,100. Hang Seng up 396. 29,409, making a move towards 30,000. Didn't think we'd see that last year at all. I think I'm going down, down, down. West Texas up 5 cents, 58.57. Run up 25 cents, 67.41. So that would be really only $8.90. So the spread is still kind of low. RPOP gas, $1.86, Manny. I got mine $2.35 yesterday. I know you're jealous. We got first traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have heavy traffic now on the Kennedy in both directions, and then on I-90 eastbound just before Bussey Road in the northwestern suburbs, we have a crash blocking the left lane, so that's causing some delays. Eisenhower not looking much better. I had an earlier crash at Central. That's all clear now, but heavy congestion on the Eisenhower in both directions. Stevenson looks okay. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford, normal traffic times for this hour. Off the expressways, looks like we have a crash out near Elgin, St. Charles Street at Villa Street. There is an accident. And then in the northern burbs, Route 22, which is Half Day Road at Old McHenry Road, there is a crash as well. One other significant crash of note, Dempster at Cumberland, busy intersection there. In the northern suburbs, there is an accident. Everything else looking okay out there? Weather today, lots of sunshine today, but cold temperatures, very simple, similar to yesterday. We'll reach a high of 41. Right now it is crystal clear and 32 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 84. Right now it's clear and 56. In sports, Bulls were blown out by the Kings 129-102. Suns were off. Both hockey teams were off as well. Selection Sunday saw some area teams of note make the field. Of course, Bradley, the lone team from the state of Illinois after winning the Missouri Valley, they earned a 15 seed. They'll take on a Big Ten regular season and tournament champion Michigan State as their reward, Michigan State being the 2. Marquette got in as a 5 seed. They'll take on Murray State. Michigan, who lost the tournament championship, is still a 2 seed, a very good seed. They'll take on Montana. Minnesota got in out of the Big Ten. They're a 10. They'll take on Louisville. Iowa got in as a 10 as well. They'll take on Cincinnati in Columbus, so that'll be like a road game. Purdue is a 3 seed. They'll take on Old Dominion, and a lot of people like Purdue to come out of that bracket. Wisconsin is a 5. They'll take on number 12, Oregon. And Iowa State versus Ohio State is another interesting matchup. That's a 6 versus an 11. Chief.
Where's our Villanova this year?
Villanova is a 6 seed, and they'll take on 11-seeded St. Mary's. And then if they win, as they're favored to do, they would likely face Purdue in the second round, which would be interesting.
Who's the lowest seed that's ever won? Is it like a 5?
I think an 8 may have won once. I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
I think it's lower than that. It's just.
Well, I know they've been in the Final Four. I thought it was the actual win of the time. Well, check it out. I bet you. David, you with us?
I'm here.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
I got a question about this Facebook. They're talking about execs leaving again. If the stock is down some, but you know, I don't know if it's down. My question is, at some point, when do people become enablers? I mean, we know somebody from the show, Go Nameless, that's been kind of harassed on Facebook for various things, and yet he or she can't get off the damn thing because the school they go to communicates to people, and the fraternities and sororities all communicate to people through Facebook. When are some of these bigger operations going to say, we're going to start calling you or emailing you? We don't want... What if, and why don't Facebook start to lose some of those people with some of the problems they've had?
Well, it could, you know, depending on whatever. Clicks, posts, you know, I don't know how they measure, but if advertisers believe that they're losing the eyeballs or daily average user or whatever, then the rates will go down, the margins will go down, and, you know, likely the stock would go down. If not, I mean, the tout, and I don't believe many touts, but you hear it enough sources, you start believing, is that it's still kind of the only game in town for masses of advertisers, along with Google, and so they're forced. But eventually, you know, especially with data privacy and protection and the like, if they have to change their platform to really, you know, abide by government, you know, whatever, regulations, guidelines, whatever you want to call them, to avoid a lot of this testimony and whatever, then, you know, it could result in significantly decreased advertising revenues, which is, that's what they depend on.
Well, most of the population, you know, I'd say 20 and below, don't use Facebook. They're all Instagram, but Instagram hasn't figured out quite how to get marketing into their
And Facebook owns Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. That was, you know.
Right.
So Facebook bought
Instagram.
They still
benefit on the other side.
Right.
But it's my understanding that if you, say, go to Marist High School and are active in sports and clubs, that you need to be on Facebook because that's how they notify you the schedule.
Well, a lot of schools do that. I think they do that with a lot of little kids, too. You know, they'll notify you whether school's closed or stuff like that on Facebook. I think it's obnoxious because I can't stand, I don't like Facebook, but I'm one of the rarity.
Well, beyond, I mean, why do you need it?
Exactly.
I mean, why can't you just text it or use the old-fashioned phone?
Right. Or look it up online. Just update a website so that I can go to find it myself.
Well, I guess my point is I've had a couple people tell me that they're her kid was being harassed on Facebook and bullied and so forth. And my point was, being the south side of the amp, turn it off. Can't turn it off. School and everybody uses it.
I've heard that too. I've heard actually a lot of teenage girls get very, very harassed on it. I think it's atrocious. Unfortunately, I think, you know, this goes back to if we're going to look at Congress and those guys, they have no concept of the technology at this point, and most of them are not directly influenced by it, so they have no interest in it. But I think it's a social problem.
But if I'm the, not that she's good, bad, or whatever on this particular issue, if I'm the senator like Elizabeth Warren, and everybody comes running to me, bitching a blue streak about Facebook, why don't I just say, what are you even talking to me for? Last year, revenue was up 30% and listenership or amount of people was up 9. Why is this my problem? It's your problem.
You mean say that to Facebook?
No, I'm saying say it to the people. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, it's like every time I drink your beer, you know, I get a hangover. Well, then don't drink it.
I got that. But Facebook definitely does things to keep people interested. So, I mean, they say your phone is addictive. Facebook is works on the same principles.
Well, I guess my question is, the first time the Marist principal, and I've just picked them out, this is not the school I'm talking about, by the way, first time the Marist principal finds out that somebody is bullied on Facebook, if it was me, I would say, as of tomorrow, we're getting out of this loop. Nobody's staying on this thing because of us, and we're getting out of this loop. Now, why do the things that
Or you could say, we're going to get rid of bullies.
Right.
How do you do that?
I think that's the same general question at this point.
Well, but I'm saying there's no reason for you to be part of that. I mean
except for the fact that it's a convention that I think a lot of schools have walked into. So
yeah.
Just like the phone tree used to be the convention, I think the convention now is that everything's put on
Facebook.
And
that tree spreads its limbs. I mean, you know, I don't use Facebook. I mean, maybe, you know, if my daughter for... My new granddaughter, you know, posts a picture or whatever, and I get notified, I'll go on it. But otherwise, I mean, I go on it on request two or three times a year. And yet, I get probably 6-7 notifications a week. Wish John Jones or Mary Smith, you know, a happy birthday. I don't even know who they are. So it comes through these trees. This one knows this one, this one knows this one, this one knows this one, and this one happens to know David Andelman, so he gets notified for that birthday of somebody he doesn't even know.
It's
very hard to break the tree trunk to cut that, you know, that tree line off.
Well, what I'm looking for, David, before you ran earlier, we were talking about the FAA trying to, or the Illinois ICC trying to regulate Commonwealth Edison. I mean, they're obviously the elephant in the room, and so is Boeing. I mean, what are you going to do to Boeing in this country? They're considered the biggest exporter, or for God's sake, you got to be one of the biggest employers, if not the biggest. And I know, so there's only so far you can go. My point is, is the population looks for Congress to quite do something with this Facebook, yet they can't stop using it. They're addicted to it like a drug. It seems like almost like a regulatory waste of time to me. We'd be better off worrying about the 737. Now, I don't know where, if I was on that committee, where I'd end up. I mean, where would you go with this? Well, you got to fix it so I can use it. Well, just don't use it. To me, I don't know where I'd even start with this. I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah, I personally think that either the individuals have to, you know, rise up and say, hey, you're going to protect my data or I'm done. And, you know, if enough people say it, then it'll affect the advertisers. And I think the concentration ought to be, you know, on the safety of our airplanes more than on, you know, protection of the data. I mean, I know that's much larger is the protection of the data, and I don't know how you get it, you know, enough parents, families, educators, whatever, rise up and say, hey, do something, you know, through legislators, but I think the safety of you know, if you have an FAA that's responsible for air safety, FTSB, you know, whatever.
All right, David, while we have you, Boeing, is it possible to trade it? What about the markets had a down week, now an up week, now we're kind of flat to up a little bit this morning. Does that mean we go down from here? Do we go up from here? The third year of the president, usually the market goes up, and in fact, it's gone up every time since World War II. Of course, we never had a Christmas Eve as bad as last year either, so we're breaking precedents all over the place. What do we go from here? Are you a buyer or seller today?
Well,
or?
You asked about three questions.
Well, they're all the same.
Try and get them in order.
It's buy or sell?
Yes. I said anywhere between 360 and 365. You know, you have limited downside risk. I mean, the risk fundamentally is now, you know, with a software quote unquote fix supposedly within a couple weeks, the risk is what kind of, you know, money are they obligated to pay these airlines and, you know, survivors and, you know, this and that and the other. I don't know the answer to that, but I think your assessment between 1 and 10 billion, at least from what the talking heads are saying, they were all touting between 1.5 and 5 billion. You know, they got over 20 billion in cash, so it makes a dent. It's not nothing, but it shouldn't dramatically affect the stock after a $70 break. And four times now, the stock's been down between 363 and change and 366. So yes, you can trade it against those numbers, but I would trade it only on weakness and on, you know, $25-$30 rallies. You know, I would take the money until it clears 400. It's no good on the upside either. As far as the market goes, you know, everyone and their brother was touting 2800. I said 2815 to 2816 in the S&P. 500 cash was the key level. We broke through significantly on Friday. Where do we go from here? Typically, and I don't know what typically really means, I'd say 70-75% chance, the bears should want it to go down so they can get out, and the bulls should want to retest so that they can get in cheaper. So my thought would be somewhere between 2800 and 2815. Watch for a retest of the breakout, and if it holds, the chart measures to 3250. I mean, I'm going to have to see it to believe it. Being frank, at least during this period of time, I was a doubter. Here or there, if nothing else, for accounts, I you know, hedged, and that's been wrong. Friday's action to me is a clear-cut breakout. If it holds the next little correction, you got to be long.
What was last week? Did it look horrible at the end of last week?
No.
That's because it came back on Friday? Not last week, week before last.
The week before, but, you know. Yeah. It took that away in spades.
Yeah, I mean,
and horrible. It inched down five straight days, but it inched down. It went down orderly and then came back like a rocket last week. You got to respect that action,
yep.
At least technically. If you have some fundamental argument, fine. But as long as we're above 2815 and even 2800 in the S&P, I would not press shorts.
Yeah, I'm just hoping it kind of
I don't know why it's this strong. Being frank, but it is.
Well, I'm sure it has a lot to do with money coming in and going out.
Yeah, the accommodative Fed, and we'll see what they say this week.
We have accommodative Japanese. There's still negative interest rates.
Accommodative Chinese, and I guess when you throw enough money and have a loose, easy policy, then, you know, stocks can rally.
Well, how much do you think these Chinese are pouring in? A couple weeks ago.
Oh, God.
It's because that stock, what are they up? They're up like how much, what percent this year?
Big time.
Yeah.
Was it 20?
Really,
I think 20, right?
25% maybe.
But that was like a month ago they were down, so it's got to be huge.
It's huge.
That's really something. What about the FANGs have had a massive comeback, and I tell you what, a lot of the money I put to work in the protected program, Steph, I put it in the queues, and we're doing great.
I'm sure
glad I picked that. Five
month highs. It's highs I believe since October 9th or something, and the best quarter since 2012. S&P, the best quarter so far. There's still a half a month, so it could certainly give some back. But best month since 2009. Best quarter. I'm not month. Best quarter.
Congratulations,
David. I started buying on January 16th, which wasn't very long ago. For all the new people that I've been doing the protected program for, my first trade in the queues was like 161.20. The thing's 178. That's an index, and it's 8 weeks.
No,
that's insane.
It's been spectacular, and you really can't. Like I said, I quit fading it last week, and I mean I wasn't fading it aggressively, and I wasn't speculating short, but I was hedging portfolios, and I'm not doing that anymore. Not until it fails.
Well, I'm chasing these calls. I haven't got caught yet, but I don't need another 5 points, and I'm chasing from underwater on the calls. I don't want that.
No, so I get it.
Could hang on. It needs the pause for a week, and I get everything adjusted again.
Hey, so what are you guys doing in April? We want to do a walk for March of Dimes.
How far we got to walk?
It depends. You can do anywhere from 0 miles to 21 miles. Usually they're pretty short, though.
21's not very short.
So, sorry, no, 21's a distance from where we're at. I mean, sorry, they're usually like a 5K max.
I can do that.
Yeah. So they've got in Chicago on April 28th is their walk.
That's my brother's birthday. We should grab his behind, too.
Oh, well, that would be wonderful.
He'll do it.
Yeah, the March of Dimes, it helps premature children and their mothers and does a lot of research, so it's really an amazing
But you
got to
get more than a dime, no.
Well, yeah, I think a dime was for polio. Yeah. They've progressed since then.
Hey, I heard an interesting, is Audrey's friend who had us over for, we're going to organize that. We're going to tweet it out. Maybe we get a whole group from Stocks and Jacks. Her friend tells me that there's a polio. There's a polio-like virus very similar to it.
It's
popped out of some place in India?
That's my understanding. Yeah, I don't know anything more about that. But yellow fever, not yellow fever, what was the other one we were talking about earlier?
Whooping cough.
Whooping cough's on its way back in.
It doesn't paralyze you. Like.
No, it just causes you lung problems for the rest of your life.
Well, that's not so good either. Yeah, I'm the only one in this. Well, David, you remember when we were... I mean, we were very, very young, but when you were 3 or 4, I remember people not wanting to go to the beach, anything. I mean, you didn't go.
Oh, God, yes.
The summertime.
I can remember those black and white things on TV with people in iron lungs and everything. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Like a horror, horror film.
Decreasing the pressure, yeah.
Well, we had a president that went how many years with, how long did it take? He was okay.
Was that Roosevelt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was okay when he went swimming on between a couple of islands because he was a hell of a swimmer.
Yeah.
Got out of the water with a chill and on Sunday was paralyzed. He was in his 30s.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And we don't need this stuff coming back.
No, for sure.
I remember the bed bugs were eradicated at one point.
Well, they weren't eradicated. They were just taken down to small numbers. But then they banned the poison that they were using for them because it was toxic to them and toxic to us. So they've had to reinvent things to kill them.
And what was the poison?
I don't remember what it was, but it was something.
DDT.
The EP. Is it DDT?
Yeah. It was one of the biggest godsends, sort of like asbestos, was DDT to people you would not have probably had a canal dug and a lot of things like that in areas that were infested. It wasn't for DDT.
Yeah, well, if you red, our bug population due to pesticides has dropped dramatically, and it's affected our bird population tremendously. I don't know, I was reading about this a couple weeks ago. Something like the bug population in the world has dropped by a quarter in the last 10 years, and it's causing bird populations to crash and a bunch of other things.
Well, the mosquito population here is doing just fine.
Well, they're introducing, you know, genetically modified mosquitoes that now don't allow them to mate, so that's causing the populations to drop dramatically.
I want them
south.
To be modified so they don't bite me.
Yeah, well, they love me. For some reason, I'm very juicy to them.
What, I think
it's the blood. There's
the
something
blood
in the blood.
It's actually,
you either have it or you don't.
You're positive or negative is what it is. I studied mosquitoes for 2.5 years in college.
Really?
Yeah, we grew them, and then we fed them stuff, and then we dissected them. It was pretty interesting.
I'd like to dissect a few.
It's under a microscope with you know, the tools they use on for eye surgery, because it's the only thing small enough.
Wow. David, I think we're going to have a very interesting, I said earlier, I'm trying to get to the point where I'm just reading the tea leaves. I'm not trying to digest them. If it looks to me like the Fed's pouring money in, as much as I think it's a bad idea, I'm just buying. You know,
the way it looks. I think that, you know, your explanation, and especially when it's concerted, not just us, but it's the Japanese and the Chinese as well. You know, it's that old saying, don't fight the tape and don't fight the Fed. And when you got the tape and the Fed going in the same direction, it's tough to fight.
Well, and we have a situation where, and I was talking to some clients this weekend, well, the economy's going good, right? And I go, hey, well, what direction are you looking? You know, who specifically, what person? Are you talking about people that are affected by tax increases in areas versus people that aren't? Are you talking about people who've gotten raises in some areas? But, the whole idea of in the last 2 years, somebody going from $10 an hour to 12, wait, 12 is way better than 10. You know, it's 20% higher. But you know what? It's still 12. And that number needs to be like, I'm not saying you raise minimum wages that much. That number needs to be like 20, where the demand for people is 20. But I tell you what, I can't get over.
And it's not there everywhere. No. I was watching one last night on CNBC. They have that undercover boss show, and they had these buffets in, I forget where it was, not Alabama, but somewhere like that, somewhere, you know, south and whatever. And the average salary and the minimum salary in the state was $6.50. Still.
I don't even know how you, I can see that for cutting somebody's lawn if you're 14, but I don't see that as somebody.
These were adults with families.
That's unbelievable.
And just kicked out of their apartments and whatever, and they did a great job. And the CEO came around, gave them doubled their wage, doubled their work responsibility, and gave them a house.
You know, that show always blows my mind because, I mean, A, the formula is relatively the same for each one of them.
Yes.
But, you know, it really, these poor people, it shows how badly they are treated before.
So $12, $14, it's not for everyone, trust me.
No,
it is. But, you know, what I've noticed in you, I don't know, I try and be observant because of the show, but then once you get in the habit of being observant, you sort of are. Have you guys noticed when you go out, like, to eat or even go out for an adult beverage or a cup of coffee, how these people are being driven by lease? There's people in places downtown here. They're being driven out of places because of the lease. You get the feeling that when somebody serves you breakfast, lunch, dinner, serves you a cocktail or whatever, that it almost doesn't matter how much they give you. The variable cost versus what you're paying is that bears no resemblance to what you're getting anymore. I mean, it really is. You can go in like the Buckingham after the club.
Uh-huh.
You get two glasses of wine. $9.50 plus they put tax on it, plus a tip. You're talking $30 for two glasses, so 40% of a bottle of $9 wine.
Yep.
And you know what? I'll bet they're not making any money because the lease is so big. It's all, they can't charge you enough for in a lot of these places because what we've seen is part of the inflation
that nobody sees, is it goes into assets. These buildings are going up, and I think the taxes the city's hitting on these places, I don't even think these buildings, I don't think they're making any money either.
I think it's tough, that's for sure.
I think it's tough up and down the chain, where you would think somebody charging you $9.50 for a bottle of, for a glass of crummy wine, you would at least hope they're making dough, and they're not.
No, they're not.
I mean, how scary is that, David? Who in our lifetime would
have... I get it. You know, I see these bottles of lower-grade wine for, you know, $8, and now you go to an upscale restaurant, and not even that upscale, and that same bottle of wine is $48, and they're trying to give points or whatever to get you in, or here's a special or whatever, because they can't make it even with that.
Yeah, some of your booze and your food now is like 6-1. It used to be 2.5-1, or 3
it's
at
unreal.
The most. David, thank you very much. Steph, right. Thank you very much. SP Futures up 1, NASDAQ Futures down 2. Quiet here this morning except for Boeing. I got Boeing down 873. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Yards.
Hey, guys. What's up, G? Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.